Oh, is sweet, I know. Storm clouds may rise and stormy winds may blow, but I'll tell the world wherever I may go that I have found a Savior, and He is sweet, I know. Oh, He is sweet, I know. Oh, He is sweet, I know. Storm clouds may rise and stormy winds may blow, but I'll tell the world wherever I may go that I have found a Savior. And stormy winds may blow, but I'll tell the world
upon his heart.
Because you can sit and listen to the words of a song and you will get a sermon. It'll be a sermon of comfort, of cheer, of encouragement and correction. But I love to listen to the music that we have found in the body of Christ. All the way through for 25 years now. I started listening to the music and writing it down and memorizing it. And I am real glad that God gave me the ears so that I could hear the wonderful music. And I love to come to church and just listen and watch the Spirit of God move. I can tell when it touches somebody. And it's a wonderful, wonderful feeling, and I'm real glad to be here tonight.
Praise God.
I want to raise to my feet and say, praise the Lord. I've learned so much at this church. The four judgments of God was the most eye-opening. The affirmative, investigative, corrective, and final judgment. I want to tell you about this first, the beginning of knowledge is fear of the Lord. Now, I found seven different ways that God is teaching us. And if you don't mind, I'll read it off to you.
Good.
He teaches by His Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells that we learn from His Word. We learn from God's creation. In fact, in Romans 1:20, it says there's no excuse. We see the creation of God. There's no excuse. Even if you hadn't heard a sermon, you realize this just happened. You, like June said, we learn from other believers.
Yes.
Other believers and mentors. And fourth, we learn from music. Music goes straight to brain or heart. It bypasses our intellect. And one reason David was after God's own heart as he wrote all of those psalms, the messages, and he played his music, and even Saul, a crazy man, was calmed down from the music. So music just speaks to her heart. So God is teaching us. And if we remember just a few things of Jesus loves me, that I know. When I was 5 years old, then uncircumstances, we may go through a little bit of a flat tire in her life. And later on, we'll find out that God was really teaching us. Then through the Holy Spirit, which is the comforter that Christ left with us. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, it tells that the Holy Spirit is with us. And then through this ministry, now in the New Testament, Paul dressed them down because after he'd come back to the Hebrews, they were still into milk, and they not meat. They were still in milk, and he was disgusted because he probably was feeding them pablum of the Scripture, and they had to feed it through their mustache. They were older, and they'd heard this, and they didn't have enough gumptions to get into the Word. So, what I'm saying to you, the first step is to know God's Word, and He teaches us, just like in the Bible, it says God walks along with us. So if today we hear His voice, let's not harden our heart. Let's just add Scripture to Scripture and put it together, and just every day feel if God is telling us something. So I praise the Lord I'm here, and praise the Lord I'm standing, able to stand up and praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise God. Good, Brother Austin.
And since we was making reference of music, when I was going to Euler, it was a required subject that we had to have theater, art, and music. You know, just to make us more rounded out students. I don't know why, personally, I ever thought they had to have those classes. But when I was taking those classes, one of the first things that the music instructor or professor made reference is, well, I'll just ask some of the younger kids, or where do you think music originated at? Okay, no one's making an answer. It was a monk chant. That was the first recorded music that was done as written music. So when the monks chanted in the Catholic Church, they had their monk chants. I can't do it. I wouldn't be doing it justice. But that was the first part. Plus they had the prehistoric horns and all that kind of stuff. But to really have recorded, you know, written down music, it came out of the church. And all my life, you know, I've heard different ministers. I can't tell you which one said it. But they said that music basically came from the church. So I'm thankful to say that, you know, our as the different ones, Gideon and his army playing their blowing their horns and smashing their pitchers, and the priest having their long. By the way, if you ever looked at a picture of an actual trumpet back in the Middle Ages, it's not as pretty as the ones we got now. It was one of those long, nasty long things. And sometimes they even had to have somebody hold up the other end just to have them where they could blow their trumpet. So, that was the original trumpet. And then, I got a little bit of the history of the trumpet because I'm kind of passionate to the trumpet. Then we started most of the trumpets didn't have vowels. And then they became bugles, where it was just got that little nice wrapped up trumpet. And then we finally got where, for us people that don't want to try to move our lips in all types of directions, where we got the vowels. So, you know, there's the history of the trumpet if you want the history. But I'm thankful I'm here. And, with Brother Ogden was mentioning the fear of God. Well, I basically, everyone, that's basically how you feel to begin with. I mean, look at your father or your parent. You don't love them like you should when you're a little child, because what you're worried about is what mom and dad's going to do to you if you don't act right. You have the fear of your parents saying, okay, if I don't act right, they're going to whip me. So basically we all have a fear of God. But what I want to develop, what I really seriously want to develop, is where I have a love for God. The true love of God, not just come to church because, okay, I'm trying to escape a fire escape, or I'm wanting to escape death. That's what people, basically out there, they're serving God for a fire escape. And I don't want to serve God for a fire escape. I want to serve Him because I love Him. And I'm thankful. I'm going to repeat myself. That's my fill-in word. I got to figure out a better way of saying that. But I'm thankful. I'm very thankful that I'm here. And yesterday, my dad showed me an obituary of my great-grandmother. And something popped in my head that I thought, I never knew that. I was reading along in the obituary, and it said, Austin Chapel. And I said, Dad, okay, to give you guys a heads up on something, the founder of that church was named Reverend James Austin. And he was my great-great-grandfather. And he was a shouting Methodist. So if you want to know about how maybe Dad got into the church, he had some shouting Methodists in his background. So, and at my grandfather's funeral, it was funny, this was back in 87, when he and his cousin Cecil went to went to the Baptist church for the first time, his cousin Cecil said, "Ern," my grandfather was named Ern also, Ernest also. He said, "Ern, don't you think our grandmother would roll over in her grave if she knew we were stepping in this church?" I mean, that's how strong they felt on the Methodist church. So, but just to read, you know, it said Austin Chapel. I said, "Dad, is it still called Austin Chapel today?" And he said, "I don't know, but I believe so." I said, "Well, I want to check that out." And then another thing, when I was trying to figure out where I came from, I found out that there was a man named Thomas B. Brown. He served in the War of 1812. But he was also an ancestor of my father, and he established the first Primitive Baptist Church across the Mississippi River in Ray County, Missouri. So, you know, that's maybe where Dad came in, and might have been the blessings from there. I don't know. But, you know, I just thought, well, I'd like to see that Austin Chapel, because if it's still Austin, hey, I'm one of them Austins down the road, you know, but not exactly. And if I'd have had a kid, I would have liked to call him Steve, if you catch my joke. But, you know, but I'm not an Austin. I'm a Dotson, unfortunately. But I'm thankful I'm here. And there's so many things that I kind of stick them in every once in a while. Can't help it. I'm just thankful I'm in the body of Christ. And growing up in the body, and sometimes I don't really express myself. And the last few years I've been kind of drawn up my little shell. So hopefully, sooner or later, I might kind of crack the shell a little bit and get out of it, but who knows. But I'm thankful I'm here tonight, and I'm thankful that, you know, when I went to Euler, I heard some things that backed up what the minister said in the church, and there's so much more, you know. But I always liked the old phrase, stand up to be seen, speak up to be heard. And I'm going to sit down so you can appreciate me.
I was listening to Brother Dotson, and you know, he's really likes history, and he knows a lot about his bloodline, his family, and everything, and I'm sure he's, you know, there's a lot of interesting people that come before him. And matter of fact, on television, I seen where they're advertising on the internet that you can, you know, ancestry.com or something like that. You can find out where you've been or where you come from and all that. But I was thinking, you know, what if you paid that money to find out where you come from, and you got the report back, and you come from a whole family of scoundrels or something, you know? Yeah. Oh boy. You know, I thought, well, you know, and that can happen, can't it? You know,
yeah.
I mean, ringtail cooters, you know. And I thought, you know, I found out there was some of that in my family before the internet. We got on the internet. Yeah. They say that I don't know too much about my dad's side of the family. This is something humorous, or hopefully, I hope you find it humorous. Or, yeah. Anyway, I don't know too much about my dad's side of the family, but the story goes is that when they were younger, and maybe his dad, but I think it was his dad. Yeah, his dad, my grandpa Thompson, which I never met in my life. But they would sit around the porch and pick guitars and banjos, you know, and drink moonshine. And then after a while, if they had somebody over and they'd all get lit up pretty good, they'd start fighting. And then if nobody was over, you know, the brothers there, they'd start fighting among themselves, you know. So, you know, go figure, you know. So, I guess God had some work to do in me, and I'm glad that He didn't give up, you know. and reason I know that, you know, I've seen people that had children and they didn't raise their children for whatever, you know, the circumstances were. And I met this person, the child, later on in life, and it was just like her parent. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that we inherit, you know. And so, but even though with that I don't think Jesus was interested in endless genealogies, because He know the root of the problem come from Adam, did He? That rascal. Well, and that became a problem, you know, Adam and what he did, and as I think sold us to the devil's hawk shop, as it were. But in God's wisdom, He gave us a way out, didn't He? And sent His Son, and they called His name Jesus, didn't they? I sure appreciate that the life that, as a child, I was brought up in. And my dad was part of that at first. But I do appreciate hearing about the name of Jesus. Feeling that spirit. Watching people bring fruits to righteousness, tears running down their eyes, their cheeks. Feeling that. Feeling the heartfelt sorrow that they had in their lives, you know. the needs that you didn't know what it was. You didn't know them personally, but you could feel it. And I appreciate having that experience. I feel blessed in that way. Very blessed in that way. I wasn't born with silver spoon in hand. And actually, kind of on the back side of the track in some ways, you know. we lived in a block house that had a flat roof. But hey, there was other folks that just all they had was a tin roof. And so I seen that, you know. I seen that. It could be worse. So I thank God. With all that said, and coming up, I used to, and as a child and young teenager and stuff, I used to envy people who had things to their disposal. You know, life seem unfair, but the truth of it is life is unfair. And like I keep saying this, but it was a radio personality locally here said, if life was fair, there wouldn't be handicap parking. Is that not the truth? Because some people we've seen that born handicapped. And so that, but there again, God sent His Son, and they called His name Jesus.
Amen.
And in that we have hope, great hope. And I appreciate that. That was put in me as a child, and that's all I needed to know at the time. And I keep that in front of me. And as life goes on, and sometimes it's a tangled web we weave sometimes, in our walk with God sometimes, isn't it? It seems like we want to walk circumspectively, but it seems like, you know, we come to questions. Why did I do that? Valleys and things and you know, you feel like you're on the front line sometimes, especially if you're raising a family. You feel like you're on the front lines. You make decisions sometimes that maybe it wasn't the best. So, but you have to, you know, someone mentioned about a righteous man gets knocked down, but he gets back up, doesn't he? It reminded me of this song. I won't back down. I'm going to stand my ground. And that was on the Barnyard. If y'all seen that little cartoon show, I thought it was, you know, if we take that attitude with humbleness in our heart and eyes toward God, that will work, because there is a scripture about setting your face as a flint, you know, toward God, you know, the determination. And because God said, He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. So I won't back down. I thank God for His mercy and His grace. And I pray, God, extend it to us more. Lord, we need Your help.
First, I want to thank everyone for making me feel welcome. You guys are really nice and really sweet. But I have something to tell you all, especially if you weren't at the wedding in Dawson. And my dad, he talked a little bit about this. But you all are talking about your heritage and your family and stuff like that in the body of Christ. So I'll tell you a little bit about mine. Well, my dad's side of the family, they're originally from Missouri, like all of you, most of you, and they weren't in church. They went to a really small Baptist church way out in the middle of nowhere, according to my dad's mom. Visiting minister from the body visited, and he invited my great-grandpa to church, great-great-grandpa to church, and he did, and he wanted, well, he was talking in this small church in Missouri, and it sparked my grandpa's, you know, attention, and he wanted to know more about it, but it ended up being Brother Tucker, and my family actually stayed with Brother Tucker for a long time, and then they all moved to Alabama, Springville, Alabama, where Brother Sharper is at. But I didn't know this, and Caleb didn't know this until after we were engaged. And I got a phone call from my mom on my way home from school. I think I was I was in college, and I was coming home from one of my classes, and she called me, and she's like, oh my goodness, you're never gonna believe what happened, but you and Caleb's grandparents, and I thought that she was gonna say what they were related. And I was like, oh, my goodness, please don't say that. But she didn't. She said they brought your grandparents to the body of Christ. And it's just crazy if you think about it, because, like, what? And I had no idea. And my grandma has a really old picture that we had at the wedding of Joyce's family with my family. And Joyce, when she was a baby, with my grandma. And she was a baby, all of them, like every single one of them, all the siblings, all the family members in front of the church that they went to. And she had it, and she was like, I think this is Caleb's grandparents. I was like, what? And she's like, there's me in there. Like, it was weird. But I mean, like, that just shows you right there that how, you know, God works and very, very mysterious ways, and he's pretty awesome for, you know, the way he brought my family in. So I just want to thank him for, you know, all the plans he's had for my family, and I'm really looking forward to the next.
Yes, the Lord. say how privileged I feel to be here in this church, have an opportunity to come in here and be with my brothers and sisters. I was just sitting there thinking about how it is an opportunity in these moments of silence to be truly led of the Lord. That a lot of times you think in your life about if there's nothing going on, especially when you're young in age, you know, we hear that dreaded word as a parent, I'm bored. I don't know if your children have ever said that. I know my children have said that. And I remember back to a day many years ago when that word was in my vocabulary. I would love to be able to say that today. I don't know the meaning of the word bored anymore. You know, if I'm sitting somewhere and I have nothing to do, I'm thinking I'm taking a nap. You know, this is a great time for me. But a lot of times when there's nothing going on, if you say nothing, well, see, this is a different circumstance, but just follow me on this. It sometimes will prompt you when you're young to do something, but you may not actually be doing anything at all. You're killing time. But when we come into church and we start to blend our spirit and we're here seeking God's will, because that's what I believe in my heart, when we're sitting here and we're looking, God, what do you have for us? What is it that you're saying to us tonight? Because I know each and every one of us has a need. If I said one need, I'd probably be underestimating what we actually all... I know I have many needs in my life. Most importantly are the spiritual ones. I'm on this road. Thankfully, God has shown me the way to go. And now there's a vision in mind. And that's my goal, is to get there. But in order to get there, I have to keep coming. I have to be faithful. I've been called, but it's up to me. I'm being chosen. I have to be faithful. And that's faithful in every area. I appreciate it, Brother Ogden, naming those different ways that God could talk to us. There's different ways that we're to be faithful. You know, we've been taught over the years to be faithful in tithing, to be faithful in attendance, to be faithful in Bible reading. There's many ways to be faithful. I don't just want to, though, attend church for attendance sake. I understand that just as if I if I stop eating, eventually my body is going to let me know. And with my body, probably pretty quick too. I skip a meal and it's like, hey, do you realize you didn't eat? Hey, I mean, you know, you can't see it right away, but my mind is saying, you forgot breakfast and you're skipping lunch. That's it, boy. You better get some food soon. That's the way, at least, how my days seem to go. Well, I want to treat my relationship with God the same way, as far as this is a necessity. I need this. I need everything about it. When I come in here, and when we have these times, I want to close my mind right there to everything else and open it. What are you trying to say, God? What can you speak to my heart tonight, Lord? Because I need a closer walk with you. I need more of your spirit in my life. I need a touch from the Most High God. And we have an opportunity in coming here tonight to feel that wonderful spirit. And that is a wonderful blessing. I don't want to take that for granted. That I can reach out my hands and say, Lord God of heaven, great is your name, and thank you for allowing me to be in your presence. Because that's what it is to come into church to have that understanding that we do. To be able to watch the Spirit. That's part of that vision of the body of Christ. Is to watch the Spirit. To see what is God saying. And we all know the reference back to Elijah. Whenever he was seeking guidance. He was up on the mount and there was a hailstorm and fire and thunder and all these big things, and it said, what does it say in the Bible? It says, but God wasn't in those. He was in that still, small voice. And that's when he talked to him. And that's when he gave him, here's what's coming for you. Here's what you need to do. Here's your direction. Well, I'll tell you, sometimes if I'm not careful, what I'm doing actually is I might be listening for a still small voice for you. Okay, well, maybe sister so-and-so is going to get up. Maybe brother so-and-so is going to get up. God, you need to deal with them. Well, I'm getting up here tonight. I'm putting myself on the altar and saying, Lord, I want to hear that still small voice. I don't want to dull my ears to what you're saying, Lord. If I can just get up and if anything else, just lift up his name. Just lift up his name and say, hey, Jesus has been all right to me today. He has been taking care of me all day long. I was on the road. I didn't have a wreck. I got up way earlier than I'm used to go and do some operational things at Waste Management. And all day long, thanks to his help and a cup of Starbucks, I have been doing well and functioning all day long. And hey, you know, God created coffee. All right, I can give him credit for that too, right? But I just want to say how thankful I am. And that doesn't need to be something that I take for granted. Just, you know, I'm thankful. Well, I want to really mean that with all my heart. God has blessed. He's blessed us. I can speak to me personally because I may not know the different areas that God's blessed you in right now. And maybe you do have something. Hey, Sister Hannah, I want to say I appreciate you sharing that right there. That just shows, once again, that was God's gloved hand right there. No one here knew that, but to think that years ago that Brother Tucker would go into an assembly, a Baptist assembly, and would be instrumental in bringing in the family that one day his great-grandson, that their great-granddaughter would then marry. Can you put your mind around that, really? That's God. You can't tell me that's not God. That's my God. Remember that thing that we watched at one time? That's my Lord right there. That's my Jesus. That's him looking down the road and taking care of his people. It reminds me of, you know, talking about history tonight. I always appreciated how Brother Tucker was, how he found his way into this body. And how at the time, if I remember correctly, Brother Molyneux, he wasn't in the body at that time. That's how he got saved. Brother Tucker got saved under a tent that Brother Molyneux was having a tent revival in that area. And then years later, Brother Molyneux's in the body and Brother Tucker's in the body. Can't tell me that's not God, can you? Look at how God works. I was thinking about my mom's family, my family, my grandfather for years was all around the body, worked with Brother Liniger, painted with him. They were painting buddies. Grandpa never saw it. Never saw it. It took years later for my family to come in to the body. God is taking care of his people. That's one of the things that I go back in my life and think, okay, I'm not painting, believe me, I don't ever paint, okay? But am I working with somebody that in the near future is going to catch this vision? Am I near somebody at Walmart that I just, you know, glance at, say hello to or greet, that will one day visit this church and will catch a vision of the body of Christ? You know, what influence am I having today in this world out here? I want to be listening for that still, small voice. How can I be used? It might be a glance. It might be a wave. It might just be a, you know, are you having a great day? Hey, well, you know what? God loves you. I need to be more bold for my Savior because He's done so much for me. And so I wanted to get up and give, if you will, I don't know if it's 2 cents, it might only be a cent and a half. But I just wanted to lift him up today and say, hey, I am thankful that we're here on a wonderful Wednesday night. Yeah. To be able to feel the Spirit of God, to be able to come into a place and feel that safety, feel that love, feel that joy, feel that peace. Can you put a price on that? Can you put that out there and say, it's worth this much? You know how much it was worth? It was worth Christ dying on the cross for. It was worth even more than that. It wasn't just a physical death. He was gone. He gave up the very Spirit of God that he had ever known from creation. See, we can't understand that. We never had that relationship with God like Christ did. Christ was the first creation of God, then created creation, and then gave that part up. But he had ever had that connection. Why? He was born of the Spirit, was he not? Born of the very Spirit of God, ever had that, and because he never sinned, what is the wages of sin? Death. Christ never sinned. Therefore, by God's own law, he was not worthy of death. So what did he give up? He gave up that very presence. He gave up what? Why did he say, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" Because God had to draw his very Spirit away from him that he had known since the foundation of the world. Think about that. And he truly put his trust in his Father by saying, "I know that you will not turn your back on me. You will bring me back." And that was his faith. And by his faith, we now have that opportunity. We have that opportunity first to what? To seek him for forgiveness for our sins, to have a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we don't have to stop there, do we, Sister D? We have that opportunity to receive the earnest of our inheritance, the Holy Ghost. If we'll just ask, seek, and knock, we too can have that wonderful blessing of God that will start our journey, that will help us to be born into this kingdom. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful vision to have today? Hey, there's people out here that they don't know that right there. But we all have that truth right there. Just knowing that, that the Holy Ghost makes us a part of this kingdom. And as Brother Smith was talking on the other night, or day, you know, in the body we get nights and days all the time mixed up. The other day, I think that was Sunday service, when he was giving us the time frames and everything relating it together, we have a little bit better of an understanding now of what it means to us. What does that Holy Ghost mean to us? You know, as time continues on, we're seeking for more of that truth. We want more of that Spirit. Why? So we can move further, closer and closer to God, to be in that perfect church, to be a perfect overcomer. Don't you appreciate that vision today? Don't you appreciate being able to hear those wonderful oracles of God come across this pulpit and realize, I am blessed to be able to hear those things. That is not something I want to take lightly at all. The other night, or Sunday, that was, Brother Smith might as well have been like, hey, here's a diamond. Hey, whoop, here's a gold nugget. Want that right there? That's for you, Brother Daniels. There's a benefit for you right there. Boom. Put that in your bank account. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that opportunity. So when it comes to Wonderful Wednesday night, I want to get up and say, hey, I appreciate being here tonight. I want to put my sacrifice on the altar and say, you know what? Don't pour any water on me. Let me burn a little bit. That's at Waste Management. That's where I burn the most, okay? No one likes stinking trash either, burning trash. But I'm just saying, through the week, things going not your way, boss hitting you on your chin, co-workers treating you bad, bless the Lord, you have the Holy Ghost. Bless the Lord, you can come to a place at 8101 Colonel Glenn and get your cup filled up. Hallelujah. And say, Lord, give it to me. I need your Spirit, I need your love, I need your peace, and thankfully, it's here for you. All you got to do is ask. All I got to do is lift my hands and say, God, I need it. I need it here today, Lord. I want a closer walk with you. I have come too far to turn back now. You know what? When that song, I've Counted the Cost, I think about that when I sing that song. I don't know all the cost. There's only one cost, though, that I really have to be cognizant of. And that is, it will cost me my life here. But I'm going to get so much more for my investment. If I will just realize that this life is just a shadow of things to come. This, Brother McGowan, is the drop in the bucket. This life is nothing compared to what we have an opportunity to be a part of. To rule and reign with Christ Jesus, not just for 1,000 years, but on into the ceaseless ages. How is it in Amazing Grace when it talks about when we've been there 10,000 years? Bright shining as the sun, 10,000 years, Sister Inez. And that won't be, it'll be as a day. Can't even imagine that. Can you really put your mind around that today? What we see all around us is death. Everything we look at, it's death in this world. But one of these days, we can shake the dust off this world and say, glory to God, I got my new body, and I don't know where I'm heading. Wherever God says, I'll go to Jupiter tomorrow, Mars the next day, and hey, we'll see if Pluto really is a planet, right? Whatever it be, to be in the presence of God just here on this earth will be a blessing enough. Just to seek Him, to be in His presence, and to just sit there. Hey, it's going to take 1,000 years just to get all the questions answered, right? You know, okay, God, so really, break it down about dinosaurs. So what really did happen? You know, did you just play a practical joke on man and just put the bones in the earth so guys could always wonder, well, how'd those get there? I don't know, do you? Isn't that one of those theories that we have, Brother Smith, that they were just there, that they were created within the earth? Okay. I wouldn't put it past God. I don't know. I wasn't there. But we'll have an opportunity. Hey, you know what? I might not even care at that time because I'll just be in His presence and be able to see the face of the Creator and be able to talk to Christ. Sit down and talk with Peter and rib him a little bit, if that's allowed. You know, I guess he, with charity and love. Hey, how'd that walk on the water go for you? I don't know. I may not have got out of the boat. I may have been there. I'm not getting out of this boat. You get out of the boat. I ain't walking on water. You see that stuff? That's crazy. I may not have been one of those. At least he got out of the boat. At least he practiced enough faith to say, Lord, I'm trying. If it's you, bid me come out. Lord, if it's you, bid me get out of my seat and raise my hands to you. Lift my hands to you today and say, you are worthy of all praise. You are worthy of all thanksgiving. You are worthy of every being that I have, whether my throat is sore. Mr. D, I just didn't want to offend the church if I tried to sing tonight, okay? Talking is about probably as much as I can do. It would have been worse than normal. So that's why. She was motioning over for me because I was feeling, woo, it gets sweeter as the days go by. But I just know I can't sing it right now. So anyway, I'm just apologizing to you. I was not trying to disobey my elder by any means, okay? I was singing with no word, or was singing with no sound. I was just, you know, I was trying to participate, okay? But I just want to say I appreciate this church. I appreciate being able to come in here and see your wonderful faces. You know, when I come in here, I can be at peace. I'm not worried about you stabbing me in the back. You know why? Because you're my brothers and my sisters. You know, I didn't have the opportunity to grow up with siblings. And I've seen some siblings, but they war like cats and dogs. But at the end of the day, they're hugging and they're like, oh, get over here. And, you know, and they're all good. So that's the attitude I want to have towards you. If you see me being goofy and you need to give my head a noogie, spiritually speaking, you're not going to mess my hair up anyway, so it doesn't matter. We know who Where the Smith was talking about the other night. Obviously, I'm the one going bald. He'll go gray. Whatever. I'm okay with that, all right? I've come to terms with it. No big deal. It doesn't matter. Just as Brother Langer said, there won't be a hair between me and God, right? So that's all right. I just got to look at things and say, Lord, I appreciate being in the body of Christ. Not just a catchphrase, but I want to understand what that means, to be a part of the body of Christ. And you know, when we say that, we really say that in faith. Because as he was, as mentioned before, I sure can't say about me, I have yet to see ministers as they walk by for people to just be healed, for the great miracles to come forth, for God to be truly backing that whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. But we speak by faith that we know that that is our vision and that one day that will occur. We will see that white throne judgment. We will be a part, whether it's this time around for me or the next time. Because as long as I'll stay faithful, as long as I will work in as much as God works in me, and He gives me His grace, if I'm working to go off of what Brother Smith has said and what Brother Linger taught before, if I can remain just, then there's nothing going to keep me in that ground. I'm coming up again, and I'll have that opportunity. I'll get a chance to sit and listen to the glory of God being talked about like I never heard before. Isn't that what our hope is today? Isn't that a great hope we have? Let me tell you, I appreciate that hope. I appreciate knowing that, you know, as long as I'm striving today, if something happens to me, bless the Lord, I don't have to worry, oh, well, you know what? I didn't make it. I'm done. It's, you know, the Lord's up there saying, oh, sorry, son. Game over for you. You don't get any more quarters. I'm sorry. No more. You're done. That's not how God works. If I will just submit myself, if I will seek Him daily, if I will humble myself, if I will, as Brother Paul mentioned, Brother Thompson, if I will diligently seek Him. And how is that? For today, it might just be for me to get my carcass out of the bed and just be friendly that day. It may be one of those kind of days. But if I can just let God work in me and apply the principles that we're being taught, that I've been taught for many years now, how many times have I heard that I have to love my enemy and bless them that curse me, do good to them that hate me and despise me? That's a lot to chew on right there. And that's like what? In 3 or 4 verses. Okay, the Bible's a pretty big book. There's a lot more to put into play there. But if I will just trust in Him and realize that it's not within my own strength, but by God's grace and by me submitting myself and humbly bringing myself here once again and saying, God, send me. I'll go. Send me, Lord. If I can be a David today, let me be a David. If I can be a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, let me be one of them. Lord, however it is, if I just get a chance to walk around Jericho, if that's my calling, whatever it be, let me be faithful in my calling. Let me be faithful in my calling. Help me, Lord, to not lose sight of that. So, I just want to get up here tonight. I appreciate this church. I appreciate being able to be here tonight. Would you like me to go ahead and take us to prayer, Brother Smith? We'll go ahead and take up prayer requests. We know we've got quite a few out. It's definitely 'tis the season for sickness. I'm on the, believe it or not, I'm on the mend because you guys can actually hear me. But let's remember, I know I heard Brother McGowan over here. He's definitely got some of it going on. Who else do we have here tonight? We know Brother and Sister Crow, anytime they're not with us, when I mention them, Sister Natalie, Sister Michelle is sick tonight. Brother Steve. Oh, Brother and Sister Wallace tonight. Brother Stewart had surgery today.
Back surgery.
He's doing good.
He's going home probably tomorrow. But I have about 6 weeks of recovery.
Let's remember Brother Stewart in that recovery.
Also, the Jerry York family's out sick with a little bit of the cold or flu bug, something. They got the bug.
Let's remember the York family. They're also not here being sick tonight. Okay. Remember, excuse me, my grandfather, they're working on the cochlear implant. Okay, so he's trying to adjust to it right now. So if you'll remember him in that. Sister Abraham. Her knees. Okay, let's remember Sister Abraham. And we know she would always mention her family. I want to be faithful to mention them. She's faithful in that. Let's remember her family. Any other needs tonight that we
keep
know
remembering
of?
Remembering Brother Ron Johnson's wife.
Remember Brother Ron Johnson's wife.
Sister
Inez. Sister Inez. Sister Lacey's father. Your mother. Still Brother Michael J. Okay. Your mother, how is she doing, Sister Cindy? remember her in this decision, big decision to think over there. Remember Sister Elder, Sister Audrey? Okay, see, family traveling in. Okay, let's remember them. God give them traveling mercies. I'm sorry? Sister Donna not feeling well tonight. Anyone else have anything that we want to? Yes, going over the roads. I mean, you know, you guys see when you're just driving around Little Rock, wrecks here and there, seems more and more every day. And they're traveling many miles on the interstates. Let's always lift them up in that. Excuse me. Anything else tonight? All right, let's go ahead and stand, take these knees before the Lord. Do we receive an offering tonight, Brother Smith? Okay. All right, let's go ahead and take these knees before the Lord. We know that He is able to answer all these needs for us. Dear God, we appreciate You, Lord. We thank You, Lord.
Thank You, Lord. Oh, God.
That You will never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. Oh, God, we appreciate You so much, Lord, for Your loving kindness, Your mercy, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Your love that You showed us each and every day, God. Dear Lord, lift You up. Thank You for Your many, many wonderful blessings, Lord. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Dear Jesus, thank You, Lord. 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 Jesus, wonderful Savior. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Thank You. Oh, sweet Holy Ghost, Lord. Oh, God, to be able to come in here and worship You, Lord, to lift You up. Oh, God, we thank You, Lord, so much, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Bless Your name, Lord. Bless Your name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You.
Saying the other day when we get into services like this sometimes that comparison is the thief of joy. You know, so a lot of times we're happy with what we have until we you know, compare it to something else, and sometimes we compare this service to that service. Or, and I was thinking, you know, in times of silence, and we can sit and pause and consider sometimes what we have. And scripture popped into my head right before Brother Phil got up. Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I find myself therewith be content. And I think that many times, you know, whatever state, I've caught myself, you know, I like to wander and, you know, go, you know, travel and go different places. And a lot of times I envy people that live in North Carolina, or I envy people that live in Colorado, and I envy people that live in, you know, the mountain states. And then I go to these places and I hear about how people envy people that live in Arkansas and how people that, you know, and I think, you know, whatever state, you know, that's not just, you know, whatever state you find your life in, it might be whatever state you find yourself living in. And I think about, you know, I'm sure that y'all, you know, you've listened to talk radio before and you've heard the, where you're just happy as a clam going on living where you're living, and all of a sudden you hear a report that says Arkansas is 45th. In the country, in education or healthcare or whatever it is, it's like, oh, that's terrible. And then think, well, I was totally happy living here 15 minutes before I heard that news. Now, why would you say that? Because you don't know that. Have you ever been to Detroit? You know, that's what's odd. You know, it's all in your perspective. It's all in your perspective. And that's negative. That's negative. No, I'll tell you what. Do y'all remember a few years back when that show Banging On? No, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, okay. I was in a national service. Okay. Okay. I'll tell you, Sister Dolores is going to testify.
Since no, I'm not.
Well, then you sit there and... No, I was in Memphis a few years back at a training seminar. And this was a big... Y'all remember that show that came on when that there was a Pulaski County coroner, Stephen Dvorak, that wanted to make a name for himself. So he came up with a show on HBO called Banging in the Hood. Y'all remember that a few years back? That told how terrible Little Rock was. Oh, my God. Gunfights and bloodbaths and the crime rate. And I was in Memphis, Tennessee at a training seminar, and I went out and stood on the balcony of my motel in Memphis. I could hear gunfire. I could hear sirens. I could hear screaming and fighting in strip clubs, and it was just debauchery. And I went down to the meeting the next morning, and all everybody wanted to talk about was how bad Little Rock was. I'm like, wait a minute, we're in Memphis, Tennessee, in the demilitarized zone. You know, and you're going to tell me how bad Little Rock is? And I think about that story. This is not what I got up to say, but it's all in your perception. It's all in your perception. It's how you look. You know, there's the old story where the man went up to the, you know, back in the old days, he marched up to the gates of the city and saw an old man sitting there, and he was thinking about moving to that city, and he asked the old man sitting at the city gates, said, how will I find the people that live in this city? And the old man asked him, said, how do you find them where you came from? Oh, they're a bunch of backstabbing varmints, a bunch of, what, ringtail cooters? Was that the, yeah. And that old man said, that's exactly how you find them here. The next day, same city, same old man, different traveler comes up to the city, asks the old man the same question. How will I find, I'm thinking about moving here. How will I find the people in this city? He goes, well, how do you find them where you left? He goes, oh, they're a great bunch of people. So that's how you'll find them here. You go, you find what you're looking for sometimes. And we come to services like this, and sometimes we go, and it's, you know, we talk about the wonderful Wednesdays and the clothesline services, and we come with an expectation sometimes, and it can all change with one message, with one song, with one word. You know, I think when life gets really, you know, when you think it's really, really good, it can change with a phone call. When you think it's really, really, really bad, it can change with a phone call. In a microsecond. I remember then a couple of years ago, and I'd had a great day, and one of those days where everything just fell into place. 9:30 that night, phone rang, Joanne's dad had died of a heart attack. I mean, in a microsecond, everything changed. You know, you're having a great day, and it changed, and you're putting your wife on a plane to North Carolina and dealing with all the and this and that. And we've also had the opposite. You know, how many times you've been having a terrible day and somebody could say that one word or you can see that one thing and everything can change. I think, you know, 3 weeks ago, I was having a great day. And next thing you know, I'm laying writhing in pain on the ground. I got the bill for, just in case y'all want to know how much a helicopter ride costs to go 52 miles. From Mena, Arkansas to Hot Springs. Anybody want to take a guess? About $41,000. $25,000 for the service call and then $15,000. We're in the wrong business. You're right. And that's not counting the $600 to get from where I was laying to where the landing zone where the helicopter got. Now that's negative. But what's positive is I'm here. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. When you think about modern medicine, you know, 10 years ago when I ruptured my Achilles tendon, that was the worst thing that ever happened to me. But now I think back on it, if it hadn't been for modern medicine, I'd be crippled to this day. I'd be on a walker or something, but it'd be because of what God, you know. And a lot of times I look at things like, you know, God, you didn't give me this. God, you didn't give me that. Well, God, you gave me the means to get that. Well, God didn't come out, didn't appear and give me my house. Here you go, Brett. There's the title. There you go. Go live. But he gave me the means. He gave me so in that way, I am thankful. I am grateful for what God has done for me and where he's brought me from. And I'm thankful for this church. I really am. You know, like we go through doldrums sometimes, and I do in my own life. But all it takes is a second. And all it takes is a microsecond, for good or for bad. You know, and I think that, you know, I don't know that I'm properly grateful all the time. I know for a fact I'm not. I think so often of the Israelites. For some reason, I connect better. You know, I can get my mind better around stories in the Old Testament for whatever reason, whether it's Gideon or whether it's, you know, but I think of the Israelites, to see all they had seen, and, you know, the miraculous things. You watched plague strike Egypt. Plague after plague after plague strike Egypt. And I remember when, back in 2007, 2008, when our economy, you know, really took a tank, and I started really, you know, in the business I'm in, started seeing a lot of anxiety in the people I call on. And I asked Brother Smith one time, I said, you know, what, you know, how are we going to make it through this? And he said one thing that stuck with me for years since then, that there was always light in the land of Goshen. And if I remember correctly, land of Goshen was right directly in. It was surrounded on all sides by Egypt, or they could have escaped at any time, but they're right there in the middle of it. And so I've always took that with me. But I think of how the Israelites saw the miracles. I mean, what greater miracle could you see than watching Pharaoh's army swallowed up? And then you're led by a pillar of fire by day, a pillar of cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night. And it had to be a large enough pillar for how big was that nation traveling across the desert? I mean, I've heard tens of thousands, maybe 100,000, a city moving across the desert, and they could all see this pillar. And then that many people being fed with manna, that many people being fed with doves. And I think about that, and I think, and they still are. All it took was just, I don't know what kind of time frame, but it didn't take long for them to start murmuring and complaining and doubting. And then God would provide another miracle. And, oh, thank you, God. And then some more murmuring and complaining. I think, you know, how unthankful could they be? But then I think, I do that in my own life every day. Oh, Lord, you're not there. This isn't it. This isn't it. You know, there's got to be something else, you know. But there, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that when I reach my lowest or when I think I've reached my lowest, something will happen, and it might be the most insignificant thing to someone else. But, you know, with the old saying, my stubbed toe is worse than your broke leg. You know, if it occurs to me, it means something. You know, somebody, when Brother Phil gets up and says, you know, brought forth the words he brought forth tonight, you know, that's what I needed to hear. And before he even got up, I felt like he was stealing my thunder a little bit, because that song was going through my mind. It's just a simple chorus, but you know, it's one of the songs that always goes through. If you have nothing else to say, you can always be thankful. You can always be thankful. I think when Jesus, you know, healed the leper, or was it? Who did he heal? When one came back? It was the leper. Right. Healed 10 lepers and one came back. And I wonder, how could you be healed of one of the most horrible diseases ever known to man and not be thankful? Or not even say thanks? You not even say it. It'd be so ate up with the fact that what you're going to do with the rest of your life, now that, you know, body parts aren't rotting off, but you're going to take that and just go on with your life and not even be thankful. And I am thankful. Hit me a C chord and I'll try to get off here. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to tell you I'm thankful for all that you have done, for the stars and the moonlight and the setting sun. When my work here is through, I'm coming home to be with you. Just wanted to tell you I'm thankful, that's all. Just wanted to tell you I'm thankful for all that you have done, for the stars and the moonlight and the setting sun. When my work here is through, I'm coming home to be with you. Just wanted to tell you I'm thankful, that's all. Just wanted to tell you I'm thankful for all that you have done, for the stars and the moonlight and the setting sun. When my work here is true, I'm coming home to be with you. Just wanted to tell you I'm thankful, that's all. Just wanted to tell you I'm thankful for all that you have done, for the stars and the moonlight and the setting sun. When my work here is through, I'm coming home to be with you. Just wanted to tell you I'm thankful, that's all. Just wanted to tell you I'm thankful for all that you have done, for the stars and the moonlight and the setting sun. When my work here is through, I'm coming home to be with you. Just wanted to tell you I'm thankful, that's all.
All right, this has been good, I think. Praise God. We didn't have some of those silent spaces that put enough pressure on the people to get up and do something. We never would hear some of these things. But then when someone does respond, it seems like the Lord gets in it. And so if you was listening, you receive something tonight, something that'll help you and bless you. So I'm looking forward to the weekend to see what God's got for us. Let's give him a praise before we go home. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness to us. Oh God, your grace and your mercy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, go with your people, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, dinner day Sunday, and we won't have service Sunday night. This dinner day service, Brother Phil. Practice 10:30 Saturday morning here at the church.